Steve Rosenblum of the Chicago Tribune joins us. So, thanks, Steve, for joining us. The issue here is, I mean, he did it, and he felt that way about it, and that's I'm cool with that. The question now becomes, does this motivate the White Sox to be more inclined to move him? Like, how mad at him are they? Do you know?
I don't think they do it out of sheer anger. They know they have to come out of this deal, if they deal him, looking like they won, no worse than tied. I don't know if it motivates them more. I don't know if they think it enhances his trade value because he missed a start. He'll be better rested, and some team might value that one extra start the way a lot of teams make moves in advance of the trade deadline to get more out of their acquisitions. But he's a loon. Either that or it's an odd way to audition for Project Runway. I'm not sure. He's got a history of lunatic things. He went off on Kenny Williams over 14-year-old Drake LaRoche.
Oh, yeah.
Told to leave the – that happened in spring training. And last year tried to get into the Royals – locker room at clubhouse after the game because of there was a brawl and he was still mad and went off on Robin Ventura a couple years ago. So he's got the stability of a blasting cap, which teams that want him or teams that want to talk up his trade value like the White Sox will tell you, we love that competitor. We love that
ferocity. Oh, yeah.
We know he's emotional. And just keep sharp objects away from him, I guess.
All right, so let me ask the next obvious question. Did he do it intentionally? Did he do it with the agenda to try and motivate this team to move him?
It might very well have been that. I don't know what's going on in there. I think I'd want to wear Kevlar if I did get inside his mind. If I knew that he hasn't spoken on it, and he's scheduled to pitch Thursday now, they announced today, against the Cubs when after his five-game suspension ends. I don't know when he'll be available to talk about that, but it might well be that he wasn't happy with the team's performance, that the team's looking to sell again, that the team's looking to sell him, but the way his name's been bounced around, or he just might have had a bad moment. He lifted some pretty awful uniforms and said, "No, I'm not doing this. It's not." I don't know if it was the tops or the bottoms, but you know, the judges, the Heidi Klum can be pretty tough on pants that don't have the proper cuffs.
Do his teammates like him?
Yeah, they look at him as a leader. They certainly like playing behind him. And you big guy who's pitching fast, striking people out, getting out innings, and a guy you go out there, you know you got a chance to win every time he pitches, and they've won just about every time he's pitched. So, yeah, they like it. They will excuse anything if they think they can win the game that night. And that's their job. I'm not looking for anybody to play psychologist in that clubhouse. I'm looking for guys who are going to play hard all the time and win. That's what, as a fan, you're rooting for. If you're a team, you want to be able to trust the guys to act in some kind of normal way. This was not that.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. This is a home-and-home with the Cubs. Is his start going to be on the south side or at Wrigley Field?
At Wrigley Field.
Oh, that's going to be. I can just see how the locals in the north side are going to kind of mock him in very ingenious ways.
Well, there'll probably be a lot of locals, a lot of north side fans on the south side. Tickets were you can get tickets pretty easily if you're going to Sox Park. And it's not scheduled to be a throwback uniform night. If I guess if the Cubs really wanted to taunt the Sox, they could schedule a throwback uniform evening for Thursday night. But I've not heard plans of that.
With Steve Rosenblum of the Chicago Tribune, the other story is, as we mentioned on the other side of town, Aroldis Chapman arrives with the Cubs. Much has been made about the potential impact of this extraordinary pitcher for the next 2 months for a team that appears poised for the postseason and then beyond. Do you think he's the difference maker? Do you think he's the guy that tangibly makes the Cubs tangibly a better World Series contender?
Well, I will back up a minute and say if it's only the next 2 months, then nothing went right. They need 3 months. They need that. They need October.
Fair enough.
And November. And the other thing is I thought they had the best team in baseball anyways, so I don't think he makes them tangibly better. I don't know that this bullpen is the way we've seen the Royals bullpen go the last couple of years. Just because we haven't seen it, potentially it could be that solid, but we haven't seen them do it the way we saw the Royals do it. And the idea is that they realize if not now, when would they make that deal? Plus it was defensive in part because a lot of the teams they're trying to beat to get to and win the World Series were bidding for them as well, whether it was, I don't know, Cleveland or Washington. It was a defensive move in that way, and they were willing to pay a pretty stiff price with a couple of their prospects.
What do you think happened at his Florida residence last October, and was this situation handled properly?
Well, the as is often the case in domestic violence situations, stories change, stories conflict, and that appears to be what happened here. What the indisputable facts are, something happened. He fired his gun a number of times in the garage. His girlfriend, who also happens to be the mother of their child, was hiding in the bushes, terrified when she called 911. And he does not seem to be consistently contrite about what happened, telling police that he did not choke her, but he did use a couple of those long fingers to throw that 105-mile-an-hour fastball to poke her, and she ended up falling over a chair. So there was some kind of physical act. That's as much as I would subscribe to at this point. And the Cubs are having to answer pretty fiercely to bringing in somebody with that kind of personal history. And they issued a statement from him. It came through the team that he was sorry that he didn't use better judgment. And yet, in May, before he came off his major league suspension of 30 games for violating the domestic violence policy, he told the New York Times that he didn't do anything to anybody. It just doesn't jive with me. I don't know what happened. I wasn't there. And that's the story they're going with. And a lot of Cubs fans have conflicted feelings. This is a really easy team to root for. And now it's less so for some people. And the two stories, we talked about Chris Sale, and now we're talking about Aroldis Chapman. One's pretty clear. Sale's a loon, and that's what happened. This one has a lot of layers, a lot of parts of the onion to peel back because there's so much going on in trying to enjoy a team like this that was exciting. It's fun to watch. It has very likable players, and now one that some people don't feel is as likable.
Steve, we thank you for your time. As always, interesting stuff. Enjoy the battle on the north side. And I don't know whether there's a battle on the south side still or not, but it is going to be interesting on the south side, too. Thanks for being with us.
It will be. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Steve Rosenblum of the Chicago Tribune.